from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, April 29th. Coming up, Illinois will lose a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives next year, according to preliminary census data. We'll hear from a political scientist about where he thinks that seat will come from. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker is out with his own plan to bolster Illinois' languishing renewable energy goals and address concerns over the political power amassed by public utilities in state government. Hannah Meisel reports.
A fight over competing energy interests had already been brewing, even before federal investigators last summer revealed utility giant ComEd had engaged in a years-long bribery scheme and was fined $200 million. The company attempted to curry favor with longtime former House Speaker Mike Madigan. Meanwhile, ComEd's parent company, Exelon, is threatening to shutter two of its nuclear plants and wants state subsidies to keep them going. One energy plan backed by organized labor seeks to give Exelon the funds it's asking for, but another pushed by progressive Democrats wants Illinois to move beyond nuclear power to focus on wind and solar energy. Pritzker's plan would give the nuclear giant some of what it's asking for, but with major strings attached, including an investigation by state regulators. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Democrats in the Illinois House last week approved a measure that would allow people convicted of a drug felony to still be able to access cash assistance provided under the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program, formerly known as welfare. But Republican lawmakers, including State Representative Mark Batnick of Plainfield, say the way the proposal defines drug felony means TANF benefits could be extended to not only people convicted of drug possession, but also drug dealers.
It makes it so they get public benefits, regardless of what the felony charge was for. People who are addicts need help. People who are drug dealers need to be punished.
Batnick also criticized another piece of legislation Democrats passed last week that would decrease drug dealing charges to a Class 4 felony. That's the lowest felony class, just above a misdemeanor. During that debate, Republicans argued drugs like fentanyl kill thousands of Illinoisans a year, and slapping drug dealers with a low-class felony charge is a mistake. People of color breathe in a disproportionate amount of dirty air compared to white people. That fact has been known for a while. But as Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, a new study shows that it's not just certain types of air pollution. The problem is systemic.
The goal of the study initially was to identify specific sources of emissions that were harming communities of color in an attempt to root out the problem. Instead, the researchers, led by University of Illinois Civil and Environmental Engineering Professor Chris Tessem, found that it's not just some emissions that impact communities of color, it's all emissions.
It really took us a while to figure out, you know, maybe we can't give that type of policy or like recommendation in this case, because it's just really everything. And that was kind of surprising for us.
Tessem says the results show that race is unequivocally the underlying factor rather than income level or education. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
In Champaign County, 69 additional residents tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday. There are currently 447 active cases within the county, and 15 Champaign County residents are hospitalized due to the virus. The county's 7-day test positivity rate, excluding data from the University of Illinois, is 3.7%. That's less than the statewide test positivity rate of 4.1%. Currently, nearly 40% of Champaign County's eligible population and 33% of its total population has been fully vaccinated. The University of Illinois saw 8 more COVID-19 cases yesterday, bringing the semester's total to just over 1,800. The campus's 7-day average positivity rate is hovering at 0.14%. Still to come, Democrats are in control of the redistricting process in Illinois. We'll examine where they could look to cut a congressional seat in the state before the 2022 election. That's next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Illinois will lose one congressional district next year. It's up to the Democrat-controlled legislature to determine which seat is removed. John Shaw is director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. He tells Eric Stock he expects Democrats to eliminate one of two congressional districts in Southern Illinois. That would force two Republican incumbents, Mike Bost and Mary Miller, to potentially run against each other next year for a seat Democrats do not expect to win.
I think it's very, very likely that the lost Illinois congressional seat is going to come in downstate Illinois. I think that's almost certain. And there are several downstate Republicans whose districts are likely to be carved up in a way that is advantageous for the Democratic Party.
McLean County has one of those oddly shaped districts where Rodney Davis has a portion of Bloomington Normal in the 13th district, and the rest of the county goes to Darren LaHood of the 18th district, and LaHood's seat is overwhelmingly Republican. Do you see that changing, given that to give Democrats a chance at greater victories, they almost have to concede a couple of districts for Republicans?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Democratic mapmakers are looking hard at the 18th district, the 13th, the 15th, and the 12th, and seeing how the map can be reshaped to do a couple things. One, I mean, if Illinois needs to lose a congressional seat, it's going to occur in that, you know, southern half of the state almost certainly. So the map makers are trying to at least preserve their power base and if anything, expand it. So, you know, this is probably not a good year to be a Republican incumbent or, you know, a representative in a district, a Republican representative in a district in the southern half of the state, because, you know, notions of what is a fair map are likely to be challenged. And I think that, you know, when you look at some of the future district downstate coming, you know, after the census, there's likely to be a very, very, very large district that covers a big chunk of the southern, almost the southern half of the state.
We also heard the potential that Republicans would want to carve out Adam Kinzinger's congressional district because the party is upset with his vocal opposition to former President Trump. Given the GOP may have a little say in this process, do you see that as any possibility, or would that be something the Democrats would look to do?
First of all, I don't think the Democratic leadership, you know, they frankly probably like having Kinzinger there as kind of a thorn in the side and stirring things up in the Republican Party. I mean, I think the congressman's greater problem or greater threat to his political career is a primary challenge next year in which more conservative elements of the Republican Party, or at least the Trump, you know, faction of the party, goes after him because of his comments on the president. So I can't see Democrats necessarily trying to do anything to make his life more difficult, because I think, frankly, they kind of like having him in the position that he's in.
Governor J.B. Pritzker campaigned on fair maps. He ran an independent campaign financially. He was not beholden to anybody. The power structure in Springfield has since blown up since he took over, and yet we're still making political maps the same way we were a decade ago. Does this mean the concept of an independent map-making process is dead?
You know, to me, it has always been it's something that, you know, most, you know, students of government support, you know, most objective analysts who want, you know, competitive districts and, you know, having people, you know, lay out their views and have to, you know, fight for votes, et cetera. You know, on paper, we all want that. People who want good government want that. But, you know, just the sort of the naked fact of politics is that, you know, the party that controls, you know, the governor's mansion and the General Assembly during a remap year is going to write the maps that suit its partisan interests. It's just, it's not probably the best, loftiest way of governing, but it's inevitable.
That's John Shaw from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute speaking with Eric Stock. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies and cooler temperatures today with a high of 68 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Derek Cantu, Dana Cronin, and Eric Stock. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.